That's the, oh my God, Jalen Suggs just banked that home growl.
Yeah, that, I can't wait to talk about this game because Michael and I got in a huge disagreement about it yesterday. Huge. But I guess we should tell everybody what we're talking about, and if you've been sleeping under a rock, UCLA almost pulled off the biggest upset, I would say, in school history.
Yeah, no question.
14-point underdogs. They go into the Final Four, taking on Gonzaga, and fought them like it was Ali Frazier.
Unreal how good they were. They just, and I, you know, the old phrase, the Jerry Sloan muck up the game, they're really good. They've been really good at mucking up games.
And Chris made reference to Chris Morales in that open, and we'll get to Ireland Travis. Travis was unbelievable, and we'll get to that a little bit later. So I go play the golf event with Travis.
Yes.
We had a great day at Black Gold. Tons of Scott Kaplan was out there. Sedona was out there.
Nice.
We had a really good time. And then I go home and I get back in time to watch UCLA Gonzaga. And as I said on Friday, I wasn't going to bet against UCLA because there was something about them that you just couldn't kill them. I mean, they weren't going to beat themselves. And Mace, that game was as good of a college basketball game as I can ever remember. I'm sure I'm a little prisoner of the moment here, but because it involved my team and because it was so unexpected, they were 14-point underdogs. Can you think off the top of your head, the one you were at, the Duke upset,
UNLV,
is in the conversation, Kentucky Duke when Leitner hit the buzzer beater.
To turn around,
The one year, remember, Villanova won the
Villanova upset
title.
Georgetown.
Well, how about Villanova winning the title on a buzzer beater that one year?
That
team Josh Hart was
on? I remember Villanova being a gigantic underdog to Georgetown one year, too.
Yeah, I think it was about the same, about 15 points. But this was as good of a game as I can ever remember.
I thought it was just a fantastic game. I hated to see UCLA lose.
They lost shooting almost 60% from the field.
I know.
All right, so here's the dispute. Here's the argument between Michael and I.
Okay, got it.
I think we should take some calls on this, and I wonder what you guys think about
it.
Michael, who's played in big championship-level games and is prepared to die on this hill, says he would much rather get blown out by 20 than to lose the way UCLA did. And I have never disagreed with him more about anything. I love the way UCLA played. Mace, I wasn't even mad at the end of that game. I sat there speechless for about 30 seconds with the kind of, I had my hands over my mouth. I was like, did that just happen? And after the 30 seconds, I thought to myself, oh, my God, what a run.
Yeah.
What a team. John Wooden used to say, all you can do is play your absolute best. You're
right.
Not going to get every call. You're not going to get every bounce. You're not going to get every break. But if you leave it all out there, it's all you can do. And I was insanely proud of UCLA after that game.
Did you and Michael have this conversation about this particular game?
Yes, it was the way he brought it up.
See, as a player, first of all, as a fan, fantastic. Just unbelievable game, beginning to end, unbelievable ending, overtime, all that stuff. As a player, I think it probably would be easier to get blown out.
All right, see if this changes your mind.
Okay.
Here's Johnny Juzang after the game, and somebody asked him, hey, as soon as Suggs hit the buzzer beater, there's no shots of you guys like lying on the floor in disbelief or crying or anything. He goes, you guys all got in some weird huddle. What was that all about? And here's what Juzang, this runs about 40 seconds.
Okay.
This is Juzang explaining why after the game, UCLA didn't react like, oh my God, what just happened, or there was nobody in tears. Here's Johnny Juzang.
We weren't going to let anybody have their heads down. Everybody, I mean, is so proud to play with each other and to play for these coaches. And, there's no other way. You know, we'd rather go out. We went out fighting. There's no better way. You know, there's no regrets. Just everybody fought to the last play, and you know the last shot is the last shot. But so grateful to call these guys teammates.
And I'm with Juzang, man. If you and I are incredibly competitive between each other. If you and I played in anything, and I played really well, but you lost. Or I mean, you won, and I lost.
I won.
If I played really well, then I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm like, hey, I played good enough to win. Mason just played a little better. If I lost you by 20 in anything, I'd be embarrassed.
Oh, it's so much
miserable.
Easier to just lose. It's so much easier to just get
totally
blown out.
Totally disagree. All right, let's take some
so
calls on this. 877-710-ESPN. Do you agree with Michael and Ned? It sounds like you, Mace, that would you rather lose by 20 in a game that wasn't close, or would you rather lose the way UCLA did on what some people are calling a lucky shot, and I want to talk about that too. I don't necessarily think Suggs's shot was a little lucky.
He said afterwards, this is a shot we practice at some point at the end of every practice.
So I used to watch Kobe practice that shot.
Yeah.
I've seen Steph practice that shot.
I think Kuzma practices that
shot. I was just going to say, the guy on the Lakers now who would get that ball in the Suggs situation is Kuzma.
Yep.
And he hits about half of them. It was lucky, especially because he banked it in. But I wasn't like, it's Jalen Suggs, man.
I mean,
he's the best athlete on the team. He was going to be a backup quarterback at Ohio State.
Yeah.
He's exactly the type of guy you want taking that shot. And for Johnny Juzang to say, we have no regrets. I mean, I'm sure when they play the game over in their head, they'll think, well, we could have done that differently. I wish I would have done that. You know, but to say you have no regrets after a loss is incredibly rare.
You know, it reminds me all the time. And maybe it depends on what kind of person you are, right? So this is the kind of person I am. I am a stuck in the moment kind of person. There's a great U2 song. I get stuck in a moment and I can't get out of it. That's the way I am with the misses in my life. With the almosts, with the just about got theirs.
You can't like
that. I am stuck in a moment. When I think about that, I'm like, yeah, but if I could have done that, I'm that kind of person.
Okay, by the way, breaking news while we're talking about all this UCLA stuff. Sam Darnold has just been traded to the Carolina Panthers. We'll get you details coming up on that.
Oh, wow.
The former USC quarterback has just been traded to Carolina. But back to the UCLA game. I've been saying, Mace, for a couple of months, this is an incredible team. I'm not sure they have an NBA player. I think Juzang not only played his way into the NBA in this tournament, I think he played his way into a first-round draft pick. I mean, that's what the tournament
He's great.
I don't know if he's a lottery pick, but I think that when he got to UCLA, he was just a shooter.
Yep.
And now he showed that he can get you a bucket whenever you need it. Just get him the ball, and he's not going to miss.
Yeah, he was great. He was great.
There were
meanwhile,
five guys that were great.
We will get to that. 877-710-ESPN. We'll get some of your calls coming up. Lakers yesterday just completely non-competitive in a game against the Clippers that they trailed from beginning to end. Only three guys cracked double digits, Gasol, Montrezl Harrell, and THT. When Marc Gasol is your leading scorer amongst your starters, you probably are not going to win that game. They cannot score without LeBron. Since LeBron has left the game, since LeBron has left has been injured, they've gone 9 games and 6 times they have not gotten to 100 points. They just can't score.
Well, what's interesting is when they played Sacramento two nights before.
Yeah.
They hit 17 threes.
Yeah, they look good.
It wasn't close. When you miss your threes, that's how important threes are in these games. They made 7 of 23, while the Clippers made 14 of 28. So they were minus 21 from three, and they lost by 19. If you get beat from the three-point line like that, it's almost impossible to win. And I'm not – what I'm telling Laker fans is, look – there's going to be games where they're not competitive when they don't have three starters, especially when two of them are LeBron and AD. This could be a very ugly road trip. They've got to go. Tomorrow night they're in Tampa to take on Toronto. Toronto beat Golden State by 53 on Friday night.
Then Miami.
Then Miami. And, you know, Miami's going to be mad because they lost in the finals. Then you're looking at Brooklyn, who's the
best
team.
Kevin Durant is conceivably going to be back for.
Right. Then you're looking at the Knicks, who are having an unbelievable year. So this could be an ugly week, but you got to hang on and not let go of the rope, because eventually you're going to get LeBron back. Eventually, you're going to get AD back. And as Michael said on the broadcast yesterday, these aren't the Lakers.
Right.
You know, we're reporting that the Lakers were not competitive against the Clippers yesterday, and that was accurate. But these aren't the Lakers. If LeBron and AD don't come back, this is what would happen in the playoffs. You need to concentrate on the big picture.
Right.
And when they get LeBron and AD back, I still think they're the team
and,
to beat.
And I have said, and I still believe it, I think the Lakers are going to wind up in the play-in tournament.
Don't think you're crazy.
They're just a couple of games away from her right now, and this has a chance to be, as you said, an ugly road trip. They're going to be – I think they're going to be underdogs in all those games, aren't they?
Yeah, especially on the road. Maybe not Toronto. Toronto's got some injuries. Kyle Lowry's not playing.
Yeah.
But since it's on the road – and by the way, Andre Drummond's still not back yet. We could see him tomorrow night. But in order for the Lakers to win, they've got to hit their threes, and they need at least one guy to go off. As you pointed out yesterday, nobody went off. Friday in Sacramento, Kuzma went off. He had 30 points. Unless somebody does that, it's going to be really hard for the Lakers to win games.
Let me ask you, what's the deal on the 15th? Is that officially, are they letting people in?
Yes. Now, what I don't know is how many, and I don't know how they're going to execute it. In other words, they haven't announced yet the process by which they'll determine who gets in and who doesn't.
Right.
But
the Dodgers held a ticket lottery where you had a chance to buy in. You would think, I mean, I don't know, does this go to season ticket holders first?
I would think.
I don't know.
Yeah, I would think that they have so many season ticket holders that I would think they take care of them first and then rotate them through.
Yeah.
But I'm speculating. I shouldn't do that. I don't know what their plan is. They say they're working on it and they're going to announce it. To be candid, they're incredibly excited to get
fans
back in the building. It's been like priority one. Well, I shouldn't say it. Priority one has been I get emails from my boss over there all the time, and it says our top priority is keep everybody safe, keep everybody healthy. After that, here's what we're working on. A, get people back in the building. And so that's going to happen on the 15th against
the Celtics. That's fantastic. That's exciting.
We'll have details in the coming days as to how many, as to how they're going to determine who gets what, you know, tickets and how it's all going to work. But it's happening. And by the way, after that, Mace, it's going to happen with the other Staples tenants. The Clippers are going to let fans in on the 18th. The Kings are going to let fans back in.
Nice.
This is what you've been talking about, the slow, steady drumbeat of getting fans back into the building.
Life is coming back. Life is coming back. Get your vaccines. Life is coming back. But, by the way, Dodgers, great weekend. They win 3 out of 4. They look fantastic. I watched a ton of baseball this weekend. And you know who got me that 5-out save on Saturday night, John? Kenley Jansen.
Yeah, I did not. I was so dialed into the UCLA game that I paid zero attention to anything else.
I hit the back button. Well, you were doing a game, too. I was hitting the back button back and forth and back and forth and back and forth between UCLA and baseball. Although I think baseball was over by the time UCLA came on, if I'm not mistaken. No, I think baseball leaked after. And we got to see Kenley Jansen with his first save of the year, first of at least 35. All right, I want to hear about Travis versus
I'll tell you about
Ireland.
That. And let's get some people, because I can't even believe you have this position.
I have this position.
Don't think anybody believes that they'd rather get blown out by 20.
Yeah, I don't want to live with a loss like that.
Than to lose the way that UCLA did. I tweeted after the game that I don't care that they lost. I think they're my favorite UCLA team ever. I mean, I was watching them back when Bill Walton was there. I just love the way these guys competed. I mean, and by the way, Juzang may go pro, but no seniors. They're all coming back. And if Juzang comes back, everybody's coming back. They got two big recruits coming in, and they got their leading scorer from last year coming back from an injury. They're going to be the favorites to win the Pac-12 next year.
And by the way, get the national championship game for you tonight, Gonzaga versus Baylor. A couple of number one seeds will play, and we'll have that game coverage for you starting at 5 o'clock. We'll get some of your phone calls in here next. We'll do some Dodgers. Bill Plunkett is going to join us at 1:40 today, so about a half hour from right now. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And that's great news for Sam Darnold. It's a really, really good trade for him. The Jets are obviously going to build around Zach Wilson, and they get a couple of draft picks, and Carolina gets a quarterback who I still think can be a franchise quarterback.
I do
Sam
too.
Darnold and, on his way to Carolina.
Here was the price. A sixth-round pick this year.
Yep.
And then a 2 and a 4 next year. So 3 picks total. A 2, a 4, and a 6. Who wins that trade?
I think Carolina does. I think Carolina gets them in. I think he's I think he's going to be a legit franchise quarterback and just never got a chance in that hambone organization in New York.
And by the way, he's got Christian McCaffrey. So he's got he's got somebody to take the heat off of him, and I think that'll be good. All right, so we're putting this question out there. Michael and I got in an argument yesterday.
An argument.
Michael says, we were talking about the UCLA game. I went to UCLA, and I was incredibly proud of them over the weekend. And Michael said to me, Ireland, I'm telling you, if you're a player on that UCLA team, you'd rather lose by 20 than lose the way you did.
Amen.
That loss will haunt him forever. And Lindsay, during the break, you said what?
I said, I agree with Mace because I would rather think that I never had a chance.
Why?
Because, I mean, especially as a fan, I don't know. I think as a player, too, like, you can't be like, oh, if it just would have gone this way, or, oh, if this one call would have went our way, it's like, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Whereas, like, you know, the Indians, when they lost in 2016, they were so close to winning.
Right. They played great.
No, they didn't play great. It's devastating. Like, they lost it. They blew it.
Well,
they lost in extra innings of Game 7.
I still think of it as they blew it. And then I think of, like, you know, back when LeBron – got swept and the Cavs got swept by the Spurs when they went to the finals the first time. And I don't even remember what year that was because I don't care.
Right. Yeah, Dodgers game 7 against the Astros. I was there. I bought
tickets
for
it. That's an opinion of a 20-point blowout.
That was the equivalent.
Yeah. No, man, they cheated. How? No.
Yeah, but Mace, wouldn't you have liked it better if it went down?
If we'd lost 9-8. No.
No, if you lost the way that Lindsay's Indians lost to the Cubs in extra innings in Game 7.
Oh, no, that'd be friggin' brutal.
What are you talking about?
It was torture when Rajay Davis, like, tied it up in the eighth inning or whatever with that home run. It was torture when they ended up losing.
But, Mace, we always say, both of us, one of the greatest experiences we ever had was USC-Texas in the Rose Bowl. That's the equivalent of the UCLA loss on Saturday. It came down to the wire, and Vince Young won it. More than USC lost it. I think Jalen Suggs won it more than UCLA lost it. You look back on that USC-Texas game as one of your greatest sports memories, don't you?
It is. It is. It was a great game. So it was a great game, but not as but as a spectator, not as a player. Right. See, I think as a player, it's different. As a player, I think it'd be so much easier
mind.
To just get blown out. Much easier.
Let's go to Dave in Glendora. Hey, Dave, you're on 710 ESPN. What do you think?
Well, actually, I have two answers. As a player, I want to lose by 20. As a fan, I want to lose like I did yesterday.
There you go. That's exactly what I'm saying.
No.
As a player, you're gonna question yourself. If you're going to, you're gonna question the whole game. What could I've done better to win? And if you get blown out, you don't question yourself.
So thanks, Dave, for the phone call.
By the way, he has my exact position as a fan. I understand why. Fantastic game, crazy. As a player, I would have been devastated.
But you heard Johnny Juzang. He wasn't devastated. He knew they played great.
He's going to live with that for the rest of his life.
And plus, they also weren't expected to win that game. So it's a little bit different because they hung with them when they weren't supposed to. So I think it's different.
All right, here's Mark in Fontana. Hey, Mark, you're on 710 ESPN. What do you think?
I think Mason's out of his mind. There's no way. I mean, we lost that game by a prayer. I mean, if he would have swished it, then you could say, all right, that was a great shot. But he threw it up and it banked in.
Wait. You can't take away from the shot. The shot was
It banked in. I
It was banked in, but it's still, he got a credible shot and was able to make it.
Yeah, it was. All right, he got the shot. But, man, we weren't even supposed to be there. Like the announcer even said, in this point in the game, when UCLA was down by one, they say Gonzaga Blue was blowing everybody else out by 20.
Oh, yeah, I know.
SC.
Yeah, they blew USC out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not. Thanks, giving Mark. UCLA credit. UCLA deserves a lot of credit for hanging in that game. I thought they were going to get their doors blown off, so congratulations to them. But as a player, it would be much easier for me to know, yeah, you know, they were too much.
What is wrong with you? Let's equate this to boxing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to take the guy into the 12th round and you know, be close than get knocked out in the first 30 seconds?
This the guy who quit in Travis versus Ireland
before
it ever even started.
No,
You waved the white flag before the match even started.
No.
You said it on Friday.
No, you're wrong, Mace. I was there, and I've never seen John this competitive, man. He's not quick.
And by the way, Travis played – unbelievable. I think Travis shot about 74. I kept waiting and waiting for him to make a mistake, and he just never did.
So how much did you lose by?
Well, we lost by what you call we were playing match play, so I lost by what you call 5-4. He was five holes ahead with only four to go. So
So is that a blowout?
It's right on the bubble of a blowout. Like 4-3 is respectable.
Wouldn't
five
you rather
four,
lose that way than
no.
lose on a putt?
No, I would have loved to have taken him to the 18th hole. And by the way, I tried everything. I broke out tequila. Jorge was drinking tequila with me. I tried to get Travis drunk.
Who else was at this thing? I wasn't invited to this thing.
Of course you were invited. Everybody knew you wouldn't show up.
No, I've got my two bags. I would have come.
Okay, well, Jorge was there. It was you, Sedano, Kaplan, Bergman. It was Jasmine and Will were out there. Mark
yep.
Cates was playing in the group in front of us. We probably had 15, 20 people from the station there.
Like 10 carts.
Yeah, we did. We looked like from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, we looked like a covered wagon posse. We had like 10 carts and it was fun. I just kept waiting for Travis to screw up, and
he did not make a mistake. He played error free.
He was fantastic. He hit one ball out of bounds, and we won that hole. Tommy and I won that hole where he hit it out of bounds. And then I made one long putt to steal a hole, but he wasn't losing to anybody.
How did the obnoxious Chris Morales play after all of his talk?
True story.
Yeah. By the way, if you're listening, Chris Morales is the guy who says, here's Mason in Ireland, and he's a regular run part of the station, all that stuff.
Okay, so Morales was awful on the first six or seven holes, completely fell apart.
Yeah.
Jorge, would you say that's accurate?
Yeah.
Could not, like Mace, could not find his swing.
Okay.
Started pounding drinks on about the seventh or eighth hole, and not surprisingly, he locked in. The more he drank,
really?
The better he played. Yeah,
he's that guy.
Yeah, he was nervous, I think. And then when he started drinking, he became like a
Took
really
the edge
steady.
Off.
Yeah, he came really good. But it was fun. And now there's much debate it's pretty evenly divided over when I play you later in the summer. So for people who don't know, Mason has never played 18 holes of golf in his life.
Yep, never.
So this will be the first time this is a fascinating sociological golf experiment.
Yeah.
What would you shoot if you never have played golf? Okay, so Mason's going to do it. He's going to take some lessons, he says, but he's going to play his first 18 holes of golf against me. I'm a 10 handicap. I'm giving Mason 53 strokes.
Right.
Now, it's very evenly divided. Half the camp that's with you says that's way too many strokes to give anybody. For example, if I don't play well, I'll shoot 90, which means you only have to shoot 142 to beat me.
Wow.
And if I shoot 80, you got to shoot 132.
Now, here's the thing.
Even
I need
the pros
to, like,
were divided. About
I need.
Who's
I don't have win. Clubs.
I can get you all that stuff.
You can get me clubs?
Yeah. Matter of fact, Joe O'Reilly, the pro at Black Gold, will give you a great set of clubs to
okay.
play. They rent clubs all the time, and he'll give you whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm serious about it. I'm serious about getting lessons, and I'm serious about beating you. And I'm not going to go into it with a losing attitude, like, oh, I have no chance. I have no chance against
John.
I'm not going to wave
but
the white
flag.
But I didn't
take any strokes from Travis.
I'm going to friggin' win. I'm going to friggin' win this thing. When are we doing this? This is like for
the
U.S.
Open,
right?
Well, there's two options. I think we should do it in conjunction with the U.S. Open, which is around Father's Day. But if you want a little more time.
That might be a little too soon.
Yeah, if you want a little more time, we can do it after the NBA playoffs at the end of July or into August.
Yeah, okay, that's perfect. We'll do it then.
We'll get through. Well, the Lakers will win the title, and then you and I will play the match.
Perfect. All right, awesome. We will do that. By the way, it's Masters Week. We're giving away a $100 gift card to Roger Dunn Golf Shops every day this week. We will do that at 3:30 today. Swing by Roger Dunn Golf Shops and get custom fit today. Shop them online at worldwidegolfshops.com. All right, John, have you ever had a live stream?
Well, there was actually a live stream of the golf event.
Oh, that's right. So you have
had
a live stream.
And I forgot, and Travis made some insane shot, and I yelled the F word.
On the live stream.
On the live stream. And Morales walks over to me and he goes, dude, the whole thing, you have to assume you're on camera all the time.
All the time.
And I went, okay, I pulled a Mason. I yelled the F word on the
air. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Human. You're human. All right, so a very interesting live stream from over the weekend. And Elon Musk's family is very unusual. Got that coming up for you next. Mason, Ireland. Plus your calls, 877-710-ESPN. You can also tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L-A Ireland. And you can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. venicemace@gmail.com.
Let me make a correction. Morales is listening. He texted. The reason I yelled the F word,
yeah,
it was Morales' shot. Like, I was prepared for Travis to stick a bunch of shots near the pin. And in this case, Chris did it.
Yes.
And I yelled the F word.
There you go.
Which I'm not proud of, but it's on tape, so I can't really do
it. It is on tape. It is out there in the ether. All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so
hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Much going on today. 10 minutes, Bill we were just talking about Bill Simmons. 10 minutes, Bill Plunkett is going to be with us. And then at 1:55, it is Fast Track. So I'm talking to I don't want to say who, somebody in my family this weekend, John.
Yeah.
And we had a real disagreement. I ended up, it got heated. He ended up hanging up the phone on me.
Okay.
Didn't call back.
Who initiated the call?
It was initiated by me.
The person, if he hangs up on you, then, well, wait a minute. Yeah, then it'd be on him to call you back.
I always say
if a call drops out, whoever initiated the call should call back.
It did not drop out.
Okay, it was a hang up.
It was a hang up.
Okay.
So how long do I wait to call him back? How long do I freeze him out?
Wait a minute. Did he call back afterwards and say,
no,
hey, I'm sorry I hung up on you?
He did not call back. He's not called back.
So wait, then he's freezing you out.
I'm freezing. Hey, I'm not going to call. I'm not going to call him until he calls me back.
Correct. That's exactly how you handle it. But he's freezing you out. He hung up on you. You were willing to engage.
Oh yeah, I was willing to talk. So, but the fact that he hung up means I never have to call him back.
Correct.
All right. Goodbye.
He hung up on you. It's on
him. Well met. Until
wait,
you call me
this
back.
This is someone in your family.
It's someone in my family.
Okay.
I hope they're listening. Hail fellow well met. I wish you well. If you ever want to speak again, please give me a call.
All right. Here is.
I'm never calling you.
Here is Thomas on line 8. Hey Thomas, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
How you doing, man? Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure, Thomas.
Lindsey completely stole my thunder, but I'd rather lose by 20. That doesn't mean you didn't put your best foot, your best effort forward. It just means the team was that much better than you. And as far as the Texas SC comparison, as great as that game was, the only thing I remember or the one thing that stands out is what would have happened if Reggie Bush didn't try to lateral that.
There you go. Why did he lateral?
No, not only lateral, but lateral to a guy who hadn't touched the ball all year.
Exactly. And that's the one thing that you're going to regret. For Reggie Bush, it has to be horrible.
Yeah. Yep. All right, right. Thanks, Thomas. Here's Solomon in Lake Balboa. Hey, Solomon, what'd you think?
Hey, guys. Yeah, here's the thing that I think some people aren't thinking about regarding UCLA. Normally, 20-point blowout, great. But because UCLA almost beat them within a breath of Gonzaga's life, they're on the map. They are now considered one of the great that was one of the greatest NCAA tournament games in history, and UCLA is a part of that. They lose by 20, Pac-12, weak
conference. That's a good point.
UCLA lucked in, blah, blah, blah. And one last thing about that shot, unless he called bank lucky, he missed it so bad. He missed it so bad he banked it in. So don't
It was from almost half court. How many feet was that shot from, John?
40.
44. It was a 40-foot shot.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, great form. It was straight. I will give you that. But when it left his hands and it banked in, that's basketball gods. That's not skill.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, man.
Solomon, thank you.
Let's get one more in here, and then I want to hear your live stream story. Here is Olivia in the Valley. Hey, Olivia, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, Mason and Ivan. I've been listening for you guys for years, and finally I can talk to you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thank you, Olivia. It is great to hear from you.
Yes, I agree with Ivan. I'm sorry, Mason, but I disagree with you this time because I think that I will rather lose the way UCLA lose with your head up than losing the USC. I mean, I think USC feels really bad now thinking, wow, UCLA is way better than us because look how they lost. Honestly, well, as a player, as a fan, I honestly think that I'm with Ivan. I'm sorry, Mason, but yes.
That's all right, Olivia. Do me a favor. Call in soon and agree with me on something so that we're on good terms, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry, Mason.
All right, Olivia.
Go UCLA. Go Bruins, Alan. I love you so, guys.
Yeah,
Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you, Olivia.
That's very nice to hear.
What is your live stream story?
So Friday night.
If it doesn't involve me yelling the F word, then I'm happy about it.
No, Friday night this started bouncing around. Paul Pierce, NBA legend, having a good time. He had several Instagram live feeds. In one, he has $10,000 in chips at a poker game. In another one, he is a barber cutting his hair.
Okay.
Then he's being massaged by a girl in a bikini with girls twerking in the background.
Talk about living your best life. Way to go, Paul Pierce.
This was his Friday night triple live stream.
No COVID in the Paul Pierce house.
No, not at all. Bradley Beal, Kuz tweeted, Paul Pierce, a sicko, laughing emoji. Bradley Beal forgot to share with just close friends, laughing emoji. It did go out to everybody. I don't know if it was on purpose.
Did you see, like, the side story of this?
Hmm.
We should probably have Rachel on if she's willing to talk about it. Apparently, somebody in the comments wrote, where Rachel Nichols at? You know, because Paul and Rachel do the jump together.
Sure, sure.
And then Rachel started trending. Now, she had nothing to do with any of this.
Nothing.
And then all of a sudden when she started trending, like other reporters, female reporters started getting angry. Like, this is misogynist to that Rachel Nichols is trending. Why would you even insinuate a great reporter like her would be linked to a story like this? I think if we asked Rachel, she would say to Paul, hey, where was I at? I didn't get an invite to this. What in the world? Come on.
Yeah, It was a scene.
You know, I should probably not say anything nice about Paul Pierce because he's a Celtic, but he did grow up in Inglewood. You be you, Paul Pierce. If that's what you're about, if you're about dropping 10 grand in a poker game while you're being massaged by Instagram models, you be you.
And getting
a haircut. Whoa. I would not go as far as calling these girls Instagram models. Let's just say that.
What would you call them?
In the words of Chris Morales, I hope he doesn't kill me for saying this, I would say they're about a five. They were fives.
Jeez. That is brutal. That is brutal.
I'm just saying.
That's
just
Morales
saying.
Keeping it real. Right?
Surrounded by fives.
I'll disagree with him.
All right. Let's see. Coming up. Oh, Bill Plunkett's going to join us. Dodgers had an excellent opening weekend. They beat the Rockies 3-4. We'll get into that with him. Julio Urias, man. Unbelievable performance for him yesterday. Kenley Jansen, 5-out save on Saturday night. Zach McKinstry inside the park home run. All really, really good stuff for the Dodgers. We'll get into it with Bill Plunkett coming up next. And then Fast Track at 1:55, Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Let me tell you about Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Head into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home with a 15-minute drive-through oil change. For over 30 years, Valvoline has provided quick and convenient automotive maintenance services for busy people just like you. No dragging the kids to a dirty waiting room. At Valvoline, you stay in your car safe while the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, more. Just pull up, drive in, drive out. Less than 15 minutes. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So what I don't know how to do, Ireland, Lindsay, people, is how to make that little ha-ha on the text message when you get it. The little ha-ha or the smiley face. Do you guys know how to what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
you hold down on the text.
And then, options,
yes.
Options will come up.
Yes.
There you go. I got it. Yep. Thank you very much
you
for that.
Good. It.
Excellent computer lesson. Bill Plunkett's going to join us in a minute here from the OC Register, the Southern California News Group. A very, very solid opening weekend for the Dodgers as they take 3 out of 4 from Colorado. Trevor Bauer flirted with a no-hitter on Friday night, had a no-no through 6 and then broken up by Trevor Story, and then he kind of fell apart. He still got the win, Trevor Bauer did. Saturday night, McKinstry hit his solo home run, which was a crazy one. Ramiel Tapia made a crashing play at the wall, actually pulled the ball back inside the park, didn't realize it was inside the park while Zach McKinstry circled the bases. Kenley Jansen, 5-out save. And yesterday, Julio Urias was fantastic.
Yeah, it was kind of a wild series, especially with those two plays in left field, the one on Thursday and then the inside the park you just described. And to help us break all that down is Bill Plunkett from the Southern California News Group.
Woo-hoo!
Bill, long time no talk. How are you?
I'm doing okay, guys.
Good. All right, so let me, by the way, since we were just talking about it, let me ask you something about Thursday, the opener. So Bellinger hit that home run, and the guy couldn't keep it in the park. Turner thought he caught it. Turner runs backwards past Bellinger, and then the umpires get involved and say, Bellinger only gets an RBI single for it. Why is Bellinger being punished in that situation when it was Turner who made the mistake?
Well, it was Bellinger who passed the runner ahead of him. That's the rule. You cannot pass the runner ahead of you.
But
there's no rule that says Justin Turner can't go backwards. That's fine.
Right.
The onus is on the batter.
It's the fact that Bellinger passed Justin Turner.
Yes, even though he was practically standing still when it happened, he's the one who's responsible for keeping the runner ahead of him.
Now, Bill, let me ask you this. This is a dumb, weird question, but I assume Bellinger may have it.
Oh, gosh, I never expect anything dumb or weird to come from you guys.
Yeah,
okay, true.
Good point. If Bellinger has incentive clauses, some of these guys do, like let's say he gets more money if he hits 50 home runs, and he finishes at 49, couldn't he argue that he deserves 50?
He could argue it, but it wouldn't work.
Yes.
And there is, I don't know the corners of the CBA, but there are not, I don't believe there are bonuses for things like that.
Okay.
I think the bonuses are limited to appearances and games and awards, things like that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Let's look at these games a little bit. So Friday night, Bauer was great, went 6 innings clean, had the strut off the mound, had it all going on, and then just fell apart after the Trevor Bauer single, the Trevor Story single. I think that is so predictable once a guy is thrown a no-hitter and gets it broken up that he kind of falls apart, right?
It happens. Yeah. There's a mental letdown, you know, whether these guys admit it or not. And Bauer said he never gave a no hitter a thought and it's not a career goal and all that kind of stuff. But I tend to be skeptical about that, you know,
because he had that strut. You saw that strut off the field after the sixth inning, kind of the Conor McGregor strut.
You know what I think is even more of a factor is during the top of the seventh, he got on base and he was on base for the last three or four batters of the top of the seventh and then went out in the bottom of the inning and gave up, you know, hits and home runs. I don't think that's a coincidence. Pitchers are not used to having to play the game. They're not used to having to, you know, actually run the bases. You know, most guys like Bauer have a routine that they do when they're sitting in the dugout before they go back out, whether it's something physical, whether it's a mental thing where they go through the next set of hitters or whatever. Well, he's out running the bases, so he didn't get to do that. You know, whether he's winded from running or not, I don't know. But I just don't think it was a coincidence that he had to run the bases and then the next inning he gave up hits.
I was kind of following from afar. Did Urias look as good? You watched the whole game as it appeared to, just looking at his stat line.
Yeah, he looked even better. I mean, he was efficient. I don't think he threw more than 12 pitches in an inning other than one.
Wow.
You know, he threw 79 pitches to get into the eighth inning. He was ahead of hitters constantly. I think he had first pitch strikes to all but a couple batters he faced. He was dominant. He was efficient. He looked like, you know, we always talk about a guy like Dustin May or Tony Gonsolin. They're not the finished product yet. Julio Urias looked like the finished product yesterday. I mean, he's still only 24 years old, but he's, what, 6 years into his big league career with a lot of, you know, hurdles he's had to overcome. Mm-hmm. And he just looks like the finished product now.
Saturday night, 6-5 game. Dave Roberts goes to Kenley Jansen for a 5-out save, and he delivers. Is this the start of a great run for Kenley?
I thought you'd ask more about Corey Knebel yesterday getting the save.
But in fairness, I don't think after a five out save, I don't think Kenley was available yesterday for Knebel.
No, he was not. But I think it's interesting that they did that. No, you know, you use him for five outs on Saturday, you know you're not going to have him on Sunday. They already feel they have an option. I think Corey Knebel and the number of save opportunities that he's going to get over the course of the season is going to increase.
So wait, you think they're going to split save opportunities?
I think they are. Yes. I don't think they're going to, it's going to be one for you, one for you, back and forth. I don't think it's going to be like that. But I bet Corey Knebel gets, let's say, a dozen save opportunities before the year's over.
Bill Plunkett is our guest from the Southern California News Group. Bill, there was a headline the other day. It happened, I think, actually right before the start of the regular season, that Blake Treinen threw a 100-mile-an-hour slider. I've never seen that before. Is that something he's always done and somebody just noticed it, or is that new?
It wasn't a slider.
Yeah, a sinker.
I don't know what the headline said, but
he threw
a sinker. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he can do that. He can, and you know, Dustin May does it all the time. It's a two-seam fastball that has really good action. Not everyone's two-seam fastball has that kind of action. So you got guys who can throw 100. You've got guys who can throw with really good action on a fastball. Sometimes you get a guy who can do both at the same time. Blake Treinen can do it once in a while.
So what's the story now on opening day? We know it's Thursday. Do we know how many fans are going to be there?
I think they capped it at 13,000.
13,000.
I'm not exactly sure of the number, but it's somewhere in the 11, 12, 13 range. And it's, you know, it's because of the tier system in L.A. County, but it's also because that's what the Dodgers think they can accommodate with all the other, you know, requirements.
Now, are you still doing your normal job, Bill? Do you still, I mean, obviously you're still writing and we see
Hell
your stuff
no.
and there's all
there's
that.
There's nothing normal about my job.
you're still doing Zoom interviews and you're not you don't have face-to-face access with these guys yet?
No, we had a few during spring training. We talked to Betts and Bellinger and Seager early in the spring in person. We talked to Bauer in person after a couple of his spring starts. But that's it. Once the season started, we're Zoom only.
And so I assume that means you were not in Colorado. Are you not traveling?
I am not traveling until the access gets closer to normal.
Yeah. Right. I mean, makes sense.
Yeah,
there's just not a whole lot of point to you know, fly to Colorado and then sit in the press box and interview people on my laptop.
Yep.
All right, last question for you here, Bill. I was having a phone call with a family member over the weekend, and it got a little chippy. And
you
still speak
with your family?
That's where this is going. Bill, you sniff this out. This is exactly where this story is going. So listen to this.
I'm still fascinated by the idea of you getting buried alive in Toledo, Ohio.
It was a pretty standout moment. Standout moment, yeah.
I'm on the
phone.
Top line of your resume.
I'm on the phone with family member. I don't want to say who, brother Travis. And
I knew that's what it was.
So we got into a disagreement, and he hung up the phone. Now my question is, do I ever have to call him back, or does he have to be the one that calls me back since he hung up?
Are you the bigger man?
No, God, I'm not the bigger man. I'm bitter and spiteful.
Desire to even be the bigger man.
Bitter
Somebody
and spiteful,
has
Bill.
To make the call. Is he going to be the bigger man?
He's well, got Bill, to. He's the one that hung up.
Yeah, Bill, my contention was, since he's the one that hung up on Steve, that he has to initiate the next contact, and Steve is, for lack of a better phrase, off the hook.
Yeah, I don't have to talk to him until he calls me back.
Until the guy who hung up either apologizes or reinstates contact. What do you think?
Well, certainly it should be him who calls and, you know, offers the olive branch of family peace.
Yes.
Now, but does it make a difference? Go ahead, Bill.
If I do it, what?
Then you get to be the bigger man. Doesn't that sound great?
Bill, does it make a difference that Mason, in this particular scenario, is the older brother?
Yeah, a little bit. Speaking as the youngest of five in my family, there is a responsibility on the older sibling.
Okay, what if I am right and he is wrong?
Oh, well, then screw him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally right about this argument. I won the argument. That's why he hung up.
Oh,
so I'm
by
never
the way,
calling
Plunkett, you completely nailed your analysis of the Michigan State basketball team the last time you were on. I think it was the night before Michigan State was going to play UCLA, and I said, Bill, does my team have a chance? And your exact words were, you have a chance because this team never knows which one of them's going to show up. And I think you actually said they could be up by 15 points and still lose. And that's exactly what happened.
Yes. They were good enough to go 14 points up on anybody, and then they were also bad enough to blow a 14-point lead to anybody. Yeah. It was one of the most frustrating seasons in the Izzo era.
Yeah, well, I'm glad UCLA got a great ride. By the way, this is the absolute last thing. Mason and I are arguing. I say, Bill, that given a choice, I would much rather lose the way UCLA lost over the weekend on a buzzer beater where they fought to the end. And Mason says, no way, I'd rather get blown out by 20. What do you think? I just want
blown out.
No, I understand the reasoning there. But don't you feel better afterwards that you can, you know, hold your head up and say, man, we played them down to the wire. It took a lucky shot to beat us, as opposed to, boy, they kicked our behind. We were never in that game.
I would see that lucky shot in my nightmares for the rest of my life.
Oh, of course you would. Absolutely. And every time you did, you'd think, boy, we were so close.
Yeah, that's okay.
And isn't
me.
It better to be
that.
Close?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's either better to win or be out of it. Yeah. All right,
you should be
Bill.
Buried alive in Toledo for that answer.
Yes. Exactly. All right, so Dodgers-A's, that's a 6:40 start tonight. Dustin May we get to see for the very first time versus a former Dodger farmhand, Frankie Montes. I'm trying to think, didn't he go to the Reds
briefly
and then wind up with the A's?
No, I think he was – I think he went to the A's directly from here. Dodgers got him from the White Sox. He was
there. You go.
He was, I think he was part of the, I want to say, the Trace Thompson three-way deal. That
you're right.
Might have
I think it was.
The
I think
Reds.
It was. Yeah. Good
right
call.
There. Yeah.
Good call. All right. Hey, Bill. Thank you very much. We
all
appreciate.
Kinds of physical problems.
We appreciate hearing from you. Thank you.
Enjoy
the game tonight. And I'm not calling.
You got it, guys.
All right.
Not calling anybody back.
Be the bigger man. Be better.
You have never been the bigger man. Don't start now. It's a better bit if you don't call him.
Yeah, I'm not calling. I'll let you know when he calls. It'll be some time, I think. It was
probably
a pretty big argument.
When he needs money.
Exactly. All right. No, he does fine. Coming up next for you is Fast Track, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.